Right, so hello everyone. We are
Hello.
here. We are here for a very special new edition of the Scientist to Read podcast, where we talk to some of our book club members. And you might have heard her already. We're here with Dr. Alice Hesse today.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. You have the honor of being our first ever podcast guest. So apologies for the chaos in advance.
And no expectations.
That's good. That's always good. Speaking of chaos, this is a very quick interjection from Mags from the future, just to say that you might notice Jen not talking for the first 20 or so minutes. That is not because she's ignoring us. It's just because she joined our call a little bit later because we recorded this one quite early on New Year's Eve. So just to avoid any confusion as to why she's not talking, but I hope you really, really enjoy our first guest episode with Elise. So let's go. So Elise, do you want to introduce yourself quickly before we start?
Yeah, sure. Hi, I'm Alice. I've been a Scientist to Read member since 2020. I think I started reading the books in May of 2020. So I wasn't one of the original members or the very first ones, but I joined fairly early.
Yeah, quite
I might have even joined before Jen. I'm not sure.
early. You win.
But first, yeah, a few words about me. I live in Germany. I recently finished my PhD just of this year in, I think in April, and I had a defense in March and then I got the certificate in April. So, I did my PhD in physics education, and studied, the how to support teachers in implementing new knowledge that they gain for in during a professional development training. So basically, the idea was to find out how to support teachers in implementing new methods that they encounter during a training that they enroll in, to make it more efficient and to have it implemented longer than, say, for the next 2 weeks after they finished the training course.
Sort of like sustainable changes and stuff like that.
Exactly, that's the
That's cool.
idea. And I ventured from that after the PhD. I decided that the science part itself is not for me, but I wanted to stay close to science itself. So I am now a in a science management position. I do project coordination at the physics department at the University of Heidelberg. And basically manage the projects that they have in the group and also do lots of outreach. So the website, the LinkedIn page, science communication events, and I also organized a conference this year that was really
Yeah,
excited. And I'm
that's really
now
cool.
the publisher of science conference proceedings. That's
That's really exciting.
it is. It was a lot of work
I
and I'm
bet, yeah.
Yeah, I cursed at it multiple times during the summer, but it was also really fun.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
How have you found sort of the transition into like doing less of the PhD work and sort of more actual like organization and admin stuff?
It was really easy.
Yeah. Is
Because,
it less stressful than doing a
oh
PhD?
no, just different. Just different. Because I did some of the work that I do now was also part of the work that I did during my PhD.
Okay, yeah.
Mostly the so I worked during my PhD, I worked in a European Union project, and now I manage mostly European Union projects. They
Okay,
are
yeah.
slightly different because they're more science related in the sense that I don't know, education projects in the European Union are way more about implementing changes in the classroom. And obviously, fundamental science work is different. The basic work is the same.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the networking. So that was my unique selling point, so to speak, that I'm really good at networking and speaking to other people. And that hasn't changed a bit. It's actually helped me a lot, especially during approaching the speakers for the conference, etc. Mm-hmm. And also during the projects. I'm really looking forward to a couple of new projects that are starting next year. I'm going on a project meeting in Rome at the beginning of January, for example, which with a lot.
That's exciting.
Yes, really exciting. And the project is quite big. We have 18 partners. So I'm really looking forward to meeting new people and connecting ourselves a little bit more in the community, which my boss has already done a really good job. The working group is really well connected, and he has a couple of startups as well. So that's exciting. And I smoothed into this network and I'm now setting roots. So that's really nice.
Yeah, that's lovely. That's really cool.
But without the expectations of publishing papers. So that's been a huge relief, because that's something I wasn't good at. All my papers that I tried to publish during my PhD were rejected, which was mostly also the problem of my PhD topic, because it's a really soft one and the reviewers were not really nice about it.
Yeah, what's the kind of, because I'm not really that familiar, so it's kind of cool to talk about a very different field of STEM. What kind of journals do you aim to publish in with that kind of education work?
Oh, there are dedicated science education journals for that.
Okay, that's cool.
There are some that are mainly for science education researchers, but there are also some journals that publish with teachers in mind. Mm-hmm. So the idea is to publish results that can be used by teachers explicitly. Mm-hmm. I think my work wasn't so qualified for those kind of journals, because I didn't have any materials they could use in the classroom itself, because it was more of a meta work.
Okay, yeah. That's really cool though to know, like, I don't know, I think part of like doing these episodes, I think, is the exciting thing is like that we have so many different people in the book club who do such varied things in STEM. Like for people who are listening to hear the kind of work you're doing, I feel like to me, if I'm thinking about, you know, when I was a student, like I wouldn't have even imagined that those kinds of topics of research or like positions exist. And obviously it makes so much sense to have to have like some kind of background in STEM, but and to work so STEM adjacent, like, because I saw some of the things, like the topics of the conference you organized, you must like learn so many new things, right?
Yeah. And I think that's something that's also one of my strong points, is that I get really excited about different topics in science. So when I started on Instagram with science communication in, I think it was 2018 or something, I got really frustrated really early, because all I saw on the science communication aspect were people working in labs.
Yeah.
And that's not what I did at all. I was never, ever in the lab, not during my undergrad studies, not during my PhD, because I studied maths and physics to become a teacher. There was never, like, I did experiments, of course, but I never put on a lab coat and goggles and did experiments with test tubes or pipettes or whatever. But there is so many people out there on Instagram doing science communication on that field, basically anything lab related, because obviously it's cool. It looks amazing. It looks super interesting. And there are a lot of people doing it. So why not have all those people also represented on Instagram? But I felt that my field or the work I did was not represented in the image of what it is like to work in STEM.
Yeah.
So that was one of the main goals, to show that side of science or of STEM. I did a couple of years of science communication work on Instagram, and mostly since 2021 when I had my baby, I just didn't find the time anymore. So
that makes
now
sense.
It's more of a like a work-related diary, I would say. Yeah. I post a lot of pictures of coffee, because obviously that's something
relatable.
I run on. Yeah.
For a lot of people, I think.
Yes, exactly. It doesn't even, I mean, it started earlier than having a baby, but after that, it's become more of a necessity.
Yeah.
And also talk about how my day goes, what I do during the day, and basically any kind of, I try to make science more real for people, or the science management, science side, anything that you do at the computer in the office. So I also try to give more real insights. Also what it is like to be a mother in science. Or basically, I don't know, I wouldn't even say that my struggles are unique for being a mom in science or in STEM, but more being a working mom.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, yeah. But I think like that aspect of it, and what you said before in terms of, you know, showing a side of STEM that isn't just someone working in a lab, I think is really cool and really important to show people that, because like on so many different levels, because you have people who might want to do STEM but not really realize that there's more to it, like there's more options other than just being in a lab, because that might not be what everyone wants. Yeah. And you can do that in so many different fields, right? There is like science policy, there's science outreach and organization and things like that, like what you're doing. And you know, there's in whether you're doing whichever letter of STEM applies to you, those positions do exist, but obviously it can be harder to find people who are doing that and get more of an insight, because like I found that when I first transitioned into industry, because I didn't really do like science outreach like on social so much. Mm-hmm. Before that, I did a lot of like outreach work and stuff in person, but not so much like I didn't really discover like sort of science, like STEM Instagram until like during my master's, I think. But because I remember like I definitely followed you like before we started the book club and everything.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a lot of people doing lab work. And I remember when I transitioned into an industry position where I wasn't able to share any of the lab work. Like, yes, I was in the lab every day, but I couldn't take pictures there because, yeah. And then you see all these people doing like dances in their lab coat. And I'm like, that's really cool. And I kind of wish I could do that. Not that I can dance, but, yeah. But you can't, not in every position, you can't share that. So
yeah,
it's kind of cool to be able to, you know, share things outside of the lab, whether you're a lab researcher or not. Yes. So.
And that's also something that brought me to Scientists to Read, because we as scientists are more than just scientists.
Exactly.
We also have hobbies.
So many.
Yes.
Drinking coffee.
I mean, you should
reading.
Just look at the list we have on Discord of hobbies that people have. It's amazing. There's so many people doing different things, and which makes sense because science is hard.
Yeah.
You have so many throwbacks. You have so many moments of joy too, but it's also really nice to acknowledge that we are more than just the science we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we're, you know, we're people. We do STEM.
Most of us, yes.
We have a lot of pet members as well. You're right.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. And I think that's really exciting to meet people through having those things in common and then realize, well, actually we have more things in common, like those of people do, we have so many people doing crochet and things like that, which I still haven't gotten around to teaching myself, but
me neither. I think I took we had some lessons during elementary school.
Yeah, I think I did
obviously
too.
Just for women, because that's one of the things women have to learn, to do arts and crafts and men clothes, and misogyny runs deep.
Yeah, it does. Did you find
way to segue into the deeper topics?
That's true. Well, you know, we're here for that. I feel like that's one we always come back to, which I guess makes sense since we have so many non-men in the book club, I guess, mostly.
Yeah.
Did you find when you were working on the education part of your PhD work, did you find there were differences in terms of how men and women were addressed in the classroom and stuff?
I don't know. I'm trying to think, because I did look at differences regarding gender in my data, and I found some.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly I'm trying to figure out how deep I want to go into that because it's been a while and I'm not sure if I get it right. But I did. So I looked at the teacher beliefs regarding diversity in the classroom.
Okay. Yeah.
And whether the teachers see it as a resource or as a hindrance, mm-hmm. having diversity in the classroom, and whether or not they assume that with the teaching method they learned in the course, if they can address diversity.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was really, really interesting because it's something, the method was really basic. It's called inquiry-based learning or inquiry-based teaching. Mm-hmm. So it's really science-based. Students get to ask their own questions. They get to ask or get to set up their own experiments or thought experiments or...
That's awesome.
I don't know, some kind of problem-solving methods that until... So they can reach their goals or the answer their questions. Mm-hmm. And obviously, there are drawbacks to that because it's really time-consuming. Mm-hmm. And some students might get overwhelmed with that method, because you have less guidance from the teacher and you have to put in more work as a student.
Yeah.
But it also has the advantage that you can decide which questions do I want to ask? How do I want to proceed if I struggle with some kind of some part? And it's also really student oriented. So every student has a chance to put in their full potential. So there are reasons for and against using it to address diversity, mm-hmm. obviously. And I looked at the teacher beliefs regarding that and found that women tend to have stronger beliefs in the potential of inquiry-based teaching regarding diversity.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really go into it deeply.
Yeah.
Why that is, because it's such a complex matter.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the basic idea I had was women tend to be more caring,
mm-hmm.
And they thus try to get everyone on board more than male teachers.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense. This is really, really basic.
No, I get what you mean. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
really basic idea or basic understanding that I gathered from the data I had.
Mm-hmm.
So the when I wrote up my conclusions and the discussion, I didn't venture too far into that territory because that's not my field of expertise. But mm-hmm. The main idea I took from that is that you definitely, as a teacher training provider, have to look at who is in your teacher training, and have to consider their beliefs.
Yeah.
That's basically the main point. And that belief system that is encompassed in gender norms and that we have in our society is one of the things you have to consider as a teacher training provider if you want to change teacher beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense. That's really interesting.
Yeah. That was basically the only, I think, yeah, I didn't look at the student side so much, but I saw differences in my data definitely in regards of gender. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, it really was. But it was only one of the points. So yeah, it's a really complex matter,
yeah.
Which is usually the case with, you know, school and
yeah,
education, yeah. Because it exists in our large society and that is obviously complicated.
Yeah, I can imagine it's something that's quite difficult to put into data terms, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that was also one of the reasons that the paper got rejected, because I touched upon so many different topics,
mm-hmm.
and the complexity of everything, basically.
Well, yeah, because it's all linked and stuff, I can imagine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's tricky.
But it's really hard to put it into words and put it into a 20-pages paper.
Yeah, you should write a book.
Yes, which I did. It's called my dissertation.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello, Jen.
Hello, Jen.
Good morning. Apologies.
Good morning.
She's awake.
Just awake.
That's good. Do you have a big coffee for you?
I have coffee.
Very nice.
And a cinnamon roll.
Are those strawberries?
Yes.
Oh, yay. Amazing.
They're very bad strawberries. This is what
you did.
I painted this when I went pottery painting.
I think they're quite good.
I don't have any artistic talent, but, you know.
I really want to go pottery painting,
Me too.
It's so good.
It's and then so you would just have a new mug and you'd know that you made it all by yourself.
I know. The one I went to had so many different options. There was like plates, mugs, vases.
That's cool.
So and I do good. All of them.
Yeah, literally. All of them.
Yeah. I definitely would have done a mug as well.
Yeah, me too.
It's a really good size.
Oh, yes.
It's a big mug.
It is. It's a really big mug.
Yeah. I never know which size of mug I prefer, because I do love big mugs for like a big mug of tea or, I don't know, big coffee. But I also really like the smaller ones where you know, okay, I'm going to have a really nice and hot coffee and it's going to be hot all the way.
Yeah, I like little mugs too, just not for podcasting because they run out too quickly.
Tell me about it.
So we started, I mean, I know we're recording currently. I could pause it, to be fair, but it's fine. Sorry, future mags.
We jump from topic to topic anyway.
Yeah, so it's fine that you're here now. At least talked most of the time. I just listened, to be honest. It's very interesting. I learned a lot already.
It sounded interesting from the last bit that I caught.
Yeah, basically the main talking point was, again, patriarchy is the root of all evil.
Yes.
Then we should call the podcast that, probably.
Scientists who think the patriarchy is the root of all evil.
Yes. Cheers to that.
Agreed. So we talked a little bit already about the fact that, you know, I followed Elise on Instagram before she joined the book club. We were trying to work out, Jen, when did you join the book club? We're trying to work out whether Elise was in the book club before you.
I missed the very first book, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I think I joined in March 2020.
Okay. I think I joined in May.
Yeah.
So you were first.
Yeah. You were both very early, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
OG Not as members. Early as you, Meg.
Well. I don't know, there's probably people who read the first book before I read it or something.
I don't think I ever read the first book.
Was it a Dean Koontz one?
No, that was the second one.
That was the second one. I read that one.
Oh, then I missed the first two books. What was the first one?
The Perfect Wife by J.P. Delaney.
No, the first one, or maybe I joined that month and just didn't read the book. The first book I read was The Keeper of Lost Things.
Oh, yeah. That was really sweet.
Yeah, that was a sweet book.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about like previous book club books somehow on the podcast. Like,
definitely.
Once. Maybe just our favorite ones.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm going to have to pull up the list again.
Elise has come prepared with a list.
Oh.
I have several.
Brilliant. We love preparedness.
We do.
I want to stress again, I'm not the one with the notes. I just have several lists and the story graph up, so
that's quite prepared though. I think your lists are very important.
That's more prepared than me.
I'm trying to get my husband to join the story graph.
Oh yeah, he should.
My sister's just joined.
Oh cool. Oh,
yeah. But Georg is so bad at keeping track of remember, like he's so bad at remembering to do
to track
some things, like yeah, and he just listens to a bunch of audiobooks. We just talked about it this morning that even though we probably listen to the same amount of time, like we have the same amount of audiobook time, he listens to less books because they're just longer.
Oh yeah, does he listen to all the really long? What is it, Brandis and Sanderson?
I was just thinking of that, yes.
Brandy Sandy. Yeah, I accidentally refer to him as Brandis and Sanderson instead of Brandon Sanderson.
Which is easily done, to be honest.
It's probably a name in one of his worlds, because
Brandison. I think Brandison is quite a fun name, but
it's quite a cool name.
So yeah, you said you had lists. What lists do you have?
I actually managed to read all the Scientists to Read books this year.
Me too.
Yeah, because we're recording this on the morning of New Year's Eve.
Yes.
So it's a
Perfect
very
time
good
to
time to wrap
reminisce.
up our books of the
Yeah.
year. It is.
Let me check the scientist to read book club challenge on the Storygraph.
I also completed that challenge yesterday. Exciting.
Because we did read quite a few really good books this year.
We did.
That's why it was fairly easy for me to complete all the, or to actually read all the books, because some of them I had on my to be read list. I did two rereads this year. I have already read The Mortal Life of Henrietta Lacks last year, and also Kim Jong-un. I also listened to it last year. And Legends and Lattes was probably the most fun one, I think. You haven't talked about it yet, so.
No.
But I really enjoyed that one.
And that was your theme pick as well,
Yes, it was
right?
my theme pick.
Was it?
Yes, it was. And actually,
Cool.
it was the second theme pick. So for some
Yes.
reason, this year, I managed to pick really good themes because we
You
had
did.
two Patreon theme picks, and both of them were mine. So,
Amazing. What was the other one?
oh, the Ukraine one.
Yeah, for Ukraine. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was really timely in April,
Yeah,
right? I
yeah.
mean, with February being
Yeah.
the unfortunate day of the first year of
Yeah.
the Ukraine war, it was really
Yeah.
timely to pick something on the topic of Ukraine in April.
Yeah, it was really I thought it was a really good theme. It was really interesting as well to look through like the list of
Yeah.
Ukrainian authors and stuff, so.
And I listened to two more of the books from the list,
Oh,
so
okay.
it was really good.
Which ones were they? Good question.
It
Sorry.
was no, yeah, I have to because
She's not got that on the list.
one of them was The History of Ukrainian Sex or something. To be honest, I listen to so many audiobooks. Sometimes I just can't remember anything from the book.
That's
I
yeah,
just
that's
remember
fair.
that I listened to a couple of from the list because they were on the audiobook app that I used. And your ad could go here. No, that was actually on my list. I didn't come around to listen to it, but Life Goes On Anyway was one of the other ones that was also on the list. I think my favorite from this year, probably a tie between Her Majesty's Royal Covenant Lessons in Chemistry, because they were both
Woo!
really, really good.
Yes,
Oh, but Her
correct
Majesty's Royal
answers.
Coven was also a reread for me.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I
Yeah.
think a lot of us reread that one. And Lessons in Chemistry, to
Yeah,
be fair, that a lot
true.
of people had already read that.
I actually didn't jump on the hype
Did you
when it
also
came
think it
out.
was a romance
I
like
thought,
Jen?
oh, it looks like such a exactly. I thought it was a romance, and I was like, oh no.
Thank you. I'm glad it wasn't just me because I feel so bad that it is now my favorite book and I'm like, I'm sorry I misjudged you.
Yeah, same. I was like, okay, we already have Elie Heiserwood books with the science prompt for
I
romance.
know.
So, and then I decided, okay, if we have it as a book in the book club, then I'm probably going to read it. And it
Yeah.
blew my mind. I actually, before even finishing, I bought it and sent it to my sister because she is a chemist.
That's cool.
And I know she doesn't read a lot of books, but I thought, oh, she's gonna have to have this book. And I wasn't even done
Yeah.
with the book yet, so that's how good it
I
was.
hope a lot of people who thought it was a romance and thought, oh, it's going to be a nice, easy romance, picked it up and read it and have learned a lot from it.
Yeah. I'd imagine so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope people carried on reading.
Yeah. Yeah, after the main love interest. A lot of romance readers may have stopped
Like,
reading
oh, this is not how it usually goes.
romance.
And wasn't it also the first chapter that was from the
Yeah.
viewpoint of the dog?
I love the viewpoints of the dog. Oh,
I love him.
Oh, that was also such an amazing twist without
Yeah.
being a twist, right? Changing the viewpoint to an animal.
So
It
clever.
was so clever. So clever. Ugh.
Yeah.
I love that book.
We've established how
Yes.
long we can
I
talk
really
about
love
this book
Yeah.
Even a couple of episodes later, we're still
Literally.
talking about
It's
Lessons in
our second
Chemistry.
longest episode, I think.
after Henrietta.
Yeah.
Henrietta was chunky.
That's cool because we got distracted talking about a lot of science.
We did.
Well, not distracted. I we meant that. To, but it took a lot.
It was kind of on topic.
Yes, yeah. I really enjoyed that episode
too. Thank you.
Yeah, you're one of our biggest podcast fans.
I send a text to you every week. Like, this was the best episode ever. Every week.
It's really helpful. It makes us feel good. It does.
And it also feels, because I mean, we've established now how long we've known each other.
A long time. And,
yes, exactly. And still every week I get to listen to you ramble on about
ramble. And you're still not sick of us.
My favorite topic, books. So it's perfect.
That's true.
I listen to the podcast every Monday on my way to work, and it feels like I'm there with you. It's,
that's so
much
nice.
Fun to start the week that's with the nice. Podcast. Yeah.
Oh.
Usually it takes the podcast episode until I get off the tram, and then on my way to, when I walk on my way to work, I listen to the Patreon exclusive episode. And
the chaos episode.
Yeah, last time I got distracted, like not the Quizmas episode. I did that in the car. Driving home from
that one's a bit longer as well.
Yeah, and I realized I have to stop the episode to do the quiz before you take it. So it's taken me even longer.
I love that you're dedicated to take all the quizzes as
all
well.
The quizzes, yeah.
Which part of Christmas dinner were you?
We're asking the important questions. This is on the important these episodes. Question.
I can't remember. It was something. I was. What were you? I think I was
roast potatoes.
No, it wasn't that. What were you, Max?
A turkey.
I think I was a turkey as well.
A turkey.
Because I think it's for the first three quizzes, I was always the same as some of as one of you.
That makes sense. It makes sense that we're friends.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say, but during the Harry Styles quiz, I just clicked randomly.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so did Max, to be fair.
I was like, I don't know who these people are. I'm just going to pick the one that looks the most symmetrical or something. I don't know. I also chose the Harry era with the best haircut.
Me too, but I just think we disagreed on the best haircut,
Jen. That's fine.
I do like, no, because did you choose long hair, Harry? Oh.
No. Never mind then. Well, I mean, he never has short hair in any
no,
of
those. No, he does now. Buzz cut. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about Harry Styles.
No, because we won't have anything to say.
We'll wait until Bronwyn's guest episode to do that.
I'm already looking forward to that one.
So, yeah, we talked about us having been friends through the book club for quite a while now.
Yes.
Which is why there's a few other people we want on this because they're our friends, but we wanted you to be one of our first guest episode humans, which is nice. Yeah. I mean, you've even been to visit us in Manchester with your husband and your daughter.
That was so fun.
That was really fun. And actually, because we've been friends, we switched from our plans to visit Ireland as a honeymoon, a belated honeymoon, and basically decided to rather go to the UK.
Yeah, we spent your honeymoon with you.
And it was amazing.
Manchester's a great place for a honeymoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should come back at some
Yeah,
point.
Now that I've read Her Majesty's Royal Covenant, yes. I definitely need to come back and visit all the places because yes. I read the book and was like, can't remember any of those, but...
Yeah, we'll have to do a tour.
Yeah, you can do a tryout with me.
Should we give you a tour?
Yes, please. I already have a date in mind.
Oh, when's that?
The 26th to the 28th of January.
Excuse me.
I've booked flights.
Does that happen to be someone's birthday?
That's an interesting weekend.
It is. It's the best of weekends. I've already booked flights and I'm coming to Manchester, Jen.
Oh my god! I have no words. Oh my god!
I was reading, I read your card yesterday. It was like, I'm already looking forward to the 2024 hugs I'll give you. And I was like, what does she know?
Elise messaged me and she was like, does Jen know? And I'm like, no, I've not told her anything.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
The definition of.
Oh my God. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I was suspiciously trying to plan your birthday without your knowledge. But we thought we'd better tell you a bit in advance.
Yeah, imagine, like, sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't make it. And we're just there sat at brunch without you.
I mean, what's the point? No, I'm joking.
Anyway, now that we've got the surprise out of the way.
Oh, I was really nervous for that.
I know, me too.
Why were you nervous?
Because I was, I don't know, just seeing your face when I tell you.
It's hard to know, like, how to say it.
And I actually, we debated whether or not to tell you, like, the moment I sit in the airplane, saying, like, okay, Max, I'll see you in a couple of hours.
Yeah. Like, wait, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Why have I not been invited? What do you mean, see Max in a couple of
hours? Anyway.
Should we talk about more book club?
Yes. I am excited. I'm a happy cinnamon roll with my cinnamon roll.
Stop. Thank you.
That was after reading Legends and Lattes. I was like, I need to bake cinnamon rolls.
Yep.
That makes sense.
So I have my latte and I have my cinnamon roll.
Oh, amazing.
Are you a legend?
I'm a legend. I do. I don't know how far into the book. How far are you into it, Max?
Not that far, but don't worry. You can
talk. It's not really a spoiler, but I relate to Thimble so much. He's a precious angel. And he was protected at all costs.
Yeah. I agree.
He's so cute. He's so cute.
So we talked about your favorite book club books of the year. Do you have any other favorite books from the year?
I do. I actually have so many. I couldn't decide on my favorite November book. So I told Max that I have a list of all the books, like, as if the story graph isn't enough. I have a notepad with all the books I read to have a better overview, and I tried to give out my favorite of the month.
Yeah.
And for November, it's a tie. I just looking through it, it's interesting to see how equally it's the favorite book of the month is divided between genres.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because there are a couple of romances, there are lots of fantasy, there's even a thriller on the list. Yay. So, or two, I think Yellowface counts as a thriller as well.
Oh, I'm so excited to read that.
Yeah. That was really good.
Yeah, me too.
Actually, one of the books that's up for the vote for January, I read in October, and that was my favorite of the month.
Which one is that?
Stone Blind. And I think it's Natalia Hayes. Yeah.
Yes. And it is that.
I have to do a reread then, because it was really good.
I'm very
really
excited
good,
to read it. I'm going to the bookshop after we record to pick up a copy.
I love finding out the books early. I love it. I feel so special.
That was really good. So apparently, what has not made my list. Oh, because I see. It was really hard to choose from May, because in May I read Lessons in Chemistry, which was obviously my book of the month. But I also read or listened to Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt. Mm. And that book has stayed with me for the rest of the year. Not because a lot of things happen, but it's just so sweet. And there are, like, if you enjoyed the viewpoint of the dog in Lessons in Chemistry, in Remarkably Bright Creatures, there are some chapters written from the viewpoint of an octopus. And it's just really, really cute.
That's awesome.
That sounds
I
so
love
cool.
Octopuses.
It's got, that book has, I keep seeing the book, because it has a really nice cover.
It has, yes.
I keep seeing it and I'm like,
oh, and it's also one of the books that I highly recommend as an audiobook, just because the English narrator is amazing. I accidentally listened to a couple of other books that she narrated. Like, she did a lot of the Frederick Buchmann books.
Oh, okay.
And she's just amazing. I love listening to her voice. And she's doing a really good job with Remarkably Bright Creatures as well.
That's so cool. Yeah, because you listen to a lot of audiobooks, right?
I do. I remember starting the book club and having a goal of reading a couple of books. Like, I think the first year in 2020, I read 6 books or something. Mm-hmm. So I was a vivid reader during my school times, and I read a lot of books. I read a couple of books during my university studies, but mostly because I had some time on the tram. And during my PhD, I just stopped altogether because I had to read all those papers. And yeah, I really got into watching a series.
Mm-hmm.
And during the pandemic, I picked up books again. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten worse.
Worse in a good way.
Worse in a good way, because when I had my daughter, I would read during while I breastfed.
Yeah.
So I got through a lot of physical copies, and then I realized there is a thing called Bluetooth headphones.
A very good invention.
For me, it was a game changer, because then I started listening to audiobooks whenever I put my daughter to sleep, which at the beginning is a lot of time,
yeah,
right?
I can imagine.
They sleep a lot, yep. And I would just plug in the in-ear headphone and listen to the audiobook while I was trying to get her to sleep. So, and I still do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started going back to work, I would listen to audiobooks on my commute, which is 45 minutes one way. So I get to 1.5 hours of audiobook a day, and I listen on double the speed.
On double the speed. How?
Yeah. Yeah. So this year, I had the goal of reading 80 books, because last year I think I made it to 80. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, if I do it one year, I can do it next year. And I accidentally ended up with 120 books.
Accidentally?
That's incredible. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I really love about the book club is that I got reintroduced to some genres that I read as a kid or as a teenager, mm-hmm. mostly romance, for example. Big shout out to Helena. Because she has the best romance recommendations. And I read so many of the books that she recommends, and they're all good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed so many of so many different romance books. Plus she shares a lot of posts on diverse romance.
Yeah.
Either queer or by BIPOC authors, by fat authors or with fat main characters. And these were the best books. And I think at one point she shared a post saying that romance is a really good genre to read in times like these, because it's so predictable.
Yeah.
And so long time I thought reading is something elite. Like, I always felt bad that I'd never read any of the classics. Like, I don't think I have ever read one of the books by Jane Austen. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it out loud.
I think I haven't either.
So there are a couple of classics that I've just never read.
Yeah.
They are really difficult. And I imagine if, I don't know what like translations are like either.
Mm.
Like whether they're good. Because like I struggle sometimes with the language of like ones written in English, because they're just written so differently, aren't they?
They are, yeah. And I think part of it as well is that I don't know exactly, but I'm sure you at least go over some of the materials of some of the British classics at school. Whereas obviously, like, I mean, we read German / Austrian classics in school. Like, I read Kafka and things like that, which is also, I mean, at least the one we read is quite short, but it's still, the language is still not easy either. So
it's mad, isn't it, how much language changes?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I read a couple of German classics in school, but not so many of the English ones. And I always thought, I always felt a little shame regarding the choices I make with books. Like, there are so many books out there, and some of them are really shallow. And I always thought, oh no, reading, like, I'm studying at university, I have to read something with more depth. Mm-hmm. And that's why I never picked up any books at all, because I just couldn't find
too much pressure on yourself.
Yeah, there was too much pressure, and I'd rather not read any books. And joining the book club, I realized it's totally fine and perfectly okay to just read the books that I want to read. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if they're audiobooks, if they're physical copies, if they're secondhand. It's so, I don't know. I think I realized it's just okay to read the books that I want and read as many as I want. And I also realized it's perfectly fine to not remember the book itself.
Yeah.
I have a lot of books that make me feel something, mm-hmm. and those feelings stay with me for quite a while, even if the content doesn't. And it's just, that's something, that's the beauty of books, I think, that they are able to incite feelings. Mm-hmm. That's just magical.
It is.
I really enjoy that. And that's one of the reasons that I fly through so many books. And so many different genres. I tried 1 month of only romance books.
I remember that.
And I'm still not sick of romances, so that's really good.
That's good.
And I tried a month of thrillers, and that didn't work out at all, but mainly because I switched the app for audiobooks, and mm-hmm. the app I use now is a German one, and they mostly have German books, but I prefer to listen to English audiobooks if the book is published in English.
Yeah.
Or it was written in English. So I didn't quite stick to it. I think I ended up... It was also... I think it was October or something when Gathering Moss was
November.
The audiobook of the... Was it October or November?
November,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was the month that I wanted to read thrillers or horror stories, and I just didn't.
Yeah.
Dropped it fairly easily, fairly quick. But... Now, having the going back through the list of 120 books, I read some of the books names and sit here and be like, what was that book even about? I can't remember.
Yeah,
but that's fine, because that's one of the reasons I put them all down, and then that's also the reason I give out a book of the month, mm-hmm. because those are the books that I want to remember.
Yeah,
and if you're reading something and you're enjoying it in the moment, you don't, you know, that's absolutely fine. It doesn't, not everything has to stay with you or be something that you remember long term if you enjoyed it.
No.
That's great.
And I've also read a couple of books this year that made me realize things about myself. That was really interesting.
That's good.
That's one of the beauties of reading diverse, mm-hmm. I think, because you get to listen or read so much more about different perspectives that usually are not part of at least my daily life. Mm-hmm. And things I have never questioned before suddenly get questioned, even with a romance just by a queer author.
Yeah.
So that was really fun this year.
Yeah, it's magical how books can do that without, like, especially fiction books sometimes, where you're just reading how someone's feeling or, you know, how they're living their lives and talking about their experiences, and you're like, hang on, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Samantha Shannon, who wrote The Bone Season and Prior of the Orange Tree, mm-hmm. she realised that she was queer just from writing Prior of the Orange Tree.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it? What a magical way to realise that.
I know. But it's interesting that she chose to portray, like, sapphic love stories and, like, maybe, subconscious. I don't know. I don't know enough about Samantha Shannon. If you want to be a guest on our podcast to talk about it, that'd be great. But
yes, please.
Yeah, like, it's interesting that she chose that to kind of be the main love story in the book, and through that discovered so much about herself. But you don't think about it from a writer's perspective. It makes sense from a reader's perspective, but you kind of think a writer knows what they're doing in that. But it's interesting that she didn't.
She didn't make that choice.
She didn't do it.
Yeah.
And it helped her discover who she is. And I just love that.
Yeah, that's really cool. So you talked about sort of still fitting, like, reading around when you had your baby, your daughter. You also had her while you were still doing your PhD, right? How was that experience?
Unbelievable. I can't believe, like, I'm so in awe of you for doing that. That's amazing.
We talked about sort of those themes in one of our recent episodes in Kim Ji-young. And give you a shout out secretly.
I really enjoyed that. Yeah, so in retrospect, it was the best thing to happen to me during the PhD. Not only because Luisa is amazing. She's such a funny and hilarious and smart person, and I can't wait to see her grow up. And I mean, she's so strong-willed. I guess you two get to get me to, or get most of the ranting I do on when things get hard, but because she is so strong-willed, and that's a struggle a lot of the times, because I realize that parenting a child is also hard work in parenting myself, or catching up on lots of parenting on my inner child. It's a lot of self-reflection, and that's uncomfortable most of the time.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But I know that she's going to be an amazing human when she grows up, and I can't wait to see that. Having a baby during the PhD was, for my part, the best thing that could happen regarding my PhD, because it forced me to take a break. And I've talked about it earlier. I got a couple of rejections for my papers, and just having a bit of a year, or more, a little bit more than a year of time away from the PhD and time away from the rejections was really, really helpful to see the bigger picture and to realize, okay, there are more important things than to publish a paper just to finish the PhD. And I, at the end, I had 5 months left in my contract, and I sat down and was like, I'm going to finish this thing. I don't care how good it will be. It's not going to be perfect, but that's perfectly fine, because I have my family at home, and the PhD is just something to get out of my system, so to speak.
And you did.
Successfully. It really helped to set it all in perspective, because I remember we handed in basically my first paper, which we handed in, I think, 2 or 3 times. And it got major review during the first round. And I think they switched reviewers, because in the second round, after my mentor did some work on it and resubmitted it, it got rejected. And that was, I think Luisa was maybe 6 months old. She was teething. She just started to crawl, like running an update, and everything was hard. She would not go to sleep. I was so stressed out. And then I got the rejection of the paper I was so hoping to finally publish. And I remember talking to my husband and saying, I don't know what the point is. Like, nobody wants to read my papers. They all have things to criticize. I have so much more important things to focus on right now. What's even the point in doing the PhD? Do I even need this degree? And I mean, I don't, obviously, now that I don't work in science. In a sense, it definitely helped, or definitely helps in my day-to-day life. And I definitely draw on a lot of experiences I got during the PhD. But the title itself just started to lose its magic. It was just a book I wanted to write. I wanted to get all my findings out, because I really do believe that they're helpful to teacher training providers and maybe science education policy or something. I mean, I could have stayed in the field and seen it progress, but I didn't. So it was perfectly fine. And I think having a kid and taking this break, this forced break, just really helped set it all in perspective and getting a bit of taking a step back and clearing my head a bit and realizing there are other things out there that are more important than a title.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was really challenging. And so I was really lucky that all my data was already, or the data gathering was already done when the pandemic hit. So mm-hmm. I didn't struggle with getting the questionnaires out to the teachers, to teacher training providers that were not giving any teacher trainings during the pandemic. So I know a lot of colleagues really struggled with data acquisition, and I didn't. I already had all the data. I just needed to write everything down.
Mm-hmm.
And also having the set time frame of, like, my daughter is in daycare from 8 to 4 p.m., 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and I have to start at 8 a.m., or I can start at 8 a.m., and I have to finish by 4 because I have to pick her up. That really helped separating my work life from everything else, because I just, yeah, I had to get everything done
mm-hmm.
by that time. And that really helped during the last 5 months. I think it really helped with my work-life balance.
Yeah, because I can imagine, I mean, Jen, you know from experience, but that's probably a time where you, if you're writing up, you probably have a tendency to work as long as possible to get things done. But actually, yes, that's not really always the best thing to do for your own well-being.
No. Yeah, it's very tough.
A good dissertation is a done dissertation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose mine was, because I was finishing all my edits and stuff, but I obviously already started my job. Mm-hmm. So I was going to work and then coming home and sitting and writing until like 11 o'clock at night and then getting up, going to work.
Yeah.
And it just, I'm so glad it's done.
That's not the kind of 9 to 5, 5 to 9 that you want, is
it? It's really not, no.
That's probably one of the reasons that lots of people don't finish their PhDs, because yeah, they transition to not new job, and then being resilient and just sitting down, and after you already had your 9 to 5 job and doing all the edits and finishing that PhD, writing everything down is even harder.
Mm. Yeah, I just got so sick of it by the end. Like I said, I've said multiple times, and I'm not 100% sure this is a joke anymore, but I've said, like, because in my PhD, I focused on, like, 2 drugs, and I'm like, I do not care if these drugs cure cancer. I never want to see their names ever again, because I am so sick of work. It's not too bad now, because obviously it's been a while since I submitted and everything, but it got to the point where I was like, I do not care. I just want this to be done.
I can totally relate, yeah.
Yeah. For the record, I obviously do care. Yeah.
I think a lot of people can relate to that feeling, though. Yeah. Like when you spend such a long time with a topic.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even just like PhD thesis. It's anything that you put a substantial amount of work into, it gets to the point where you're just like,
yeah,
no.
Get it out of my system, yeah.
Yeah,
just get it done, just get it away. Done.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's been a really fun discussion with you, Elise, to get an insight into like your work, your life in general, and reading. Sort of conclude-ish, even though we're kind of bad at finishing episodes, which people know if you've been listening. What would you sort of say has been like the best thing about joining the book club or getting back into reading, especially, you know, as someone working in a STEM field / STEM adjacent?
There are several things. Because I do believe that getting back into reading can be separated from joining the book club.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, you can join the book club without ever reading one of the one of the book club books because it's so much more. I really, really love the community. And I mean, just, yeah, the Discord server is a fun place to get in contact with all kinds of different people. We are so many and so diverse. It's really fun. And I mean, we touched upon the topic of having hobbies and doing different things. And
yeah,
there are so many things you can talk about with all the people on the Discord server. And I formed some really great friendships with a lot of the people. I mean, both of you and then a couple of others. I mean, there is a small group that got a mention in my my dissertation.
Yes.
So yeah, the friendships are amazing that formed that wouldn't have happened without the book club.
No.
But going back into reading was also a game changer for me because I realized it's just another hobby that I really want to keep up because it's amazing to delve into all those different worlds that writers can think up for us as readers. And I really acknowledge it as art now. That sounds really deep, but I mean, coming from a person who flies through 120 books a year and not remembering half of it. So, but it is. It's like, listen, like when I listen to music, I can acknowledge the art behind the music
mm-hmm.
and not remember the piece of music. Like if you ask me, I love listening to music, I play the guitar, I sing. So but if you ask me about my favorite song or my favorite, like I wouldn't be able to say. No. Same goes for books. Like I can acknowledge the art of writing well and still just fly through the books and not remember most of what I've read and just know that I really enjoyed the feeling that the book gave me and just being able to jump into other worlds. That's amazing. Flying through 120 books in a year is quite a lot. And I do realize I have a lot of time to listen to audiobooks, like with the commute and getting Luisa to bed,
mm-hmm.
it just adds up. And I never, ever want to feel or to make other people feel a kind of pressure to have to read a lot of books to be called a reader. Because mm-hmm. I started out reading just 6 books in a year and it was perfectly fine. And as long as you enjoy reading, or even as long as you enjoy the concept of reading, you are a reader. And it doesn't matter how many books you read in a year. You don't have to keep track. You don't have to put up lists like I do. It's just... Yeah, just keep on enjoying reading and have fun diving into those worlds.
Yeah, that's a really nice message because we all, you know, everyone's a different kind of reader. Some people read faster and slower, different kinds of books. And I think what you said earlier as well, to read the books that you actually want to read without feeling like there's some that you should be reading is a really nice message.
And rereading. I think rereading. Because I would love a reread. And I reread a lot. I've said reread. Like, it doesn't sound like a word. Reread. But, and a lot of people are like, well, why would you read, like, you've read it. What's the point? But
there is a point.
I love a reread.
Yeah.
Comfort series and things.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes it's just for comfort. Other times there are with certain books, you pick up details you didn't pick up the first time round. I mean, I've read Her Majesty's Royal Coven 3 times now. I enjoyed it every single time.
That was the first one that came to my mind as well. Rereading it and realizing some things that were in the book and I just didn't pick up on during the first reading.
Yeah.
That was magical.
And especially with stories like that one, like I'm not going to spoiler it in case people haven't read it, but where like the twist or the surprise isn't necessarily the same as with like a thriller, for example, where knowing the twist isn't massively beneficial for a reread. But with a book like Her Majesty's Royal Coven, if you know the twist, actually reading it from that perspective adds a lot to it, I think.
Yes.
So it's a very good book to reread, I think. I'll probably read it again.
Well, yeah.
And some books are just so important, like the Henrietta Lacks book. I could reread that. I actually recommended it. I mean, you said it in the episode. It's the one science book that you always recommend.
Oh, yeah. So many people have borrowed my copy.
And a lot of people do.
Because it is. Yeah. Some books are just important and should be reread again.
Yeah, for sure. Agreed.
Well, thank you so much for being our first
guest. Thank you.
On the podcast.
Thank you for having me. That was really so much fun. It was exactly like I imagined. Just sitting here and talking with you. And great. I'm already excited to read my books. I was just thinking if I have some books I'm looking forward to in 2024, but I don't. No, not in the sense that I look forward to reading books, but more, I don't have specific books. I just plan on continuing what I did the last year. Just listen to the books or read the books that I want to read or listen to.
Yeah, I think that's a great
attitude. I'm going to try to read more physical copies again, because I tend to zone out. Like, I really felt your review of Gathering Moss. I cannot remember. You talked about how some of the stories just stayed with you, and I agree. Some of them did stay with me, but I tend to zone out. And that's also perfectly fine for audiobooks. Yeah. If you're comfortable with that, then that's perfectly fine. I have some physical books on my to-be-read, and my Secret Santa just gifted me another physical book, so I'll try to read more physical books in 2024, but
can't read those on double the
speed. Unfortunately not, but I realized that I do read faster when I read physical books than the narration in the regular speed.
Yeah, that's why I listen to them on faster speed, because they're always so slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like for some books that adds to it, for other books I think it.
Yeah.
I'd rather just read it myself.
Yeah.
Read it faster. Yeah.
I agree. I remember because I also listen to podcasts faster, and I remember that I watched the YouTube video on one of the episodes of one of the podcasts I listened to, and also on faster. And I was like, well, they're so fidgety. What are they doing with their hands? And then I realized, oh, no, I'm just watching it on faster speed. They're just regular talking with their hands. It's perfectly fine. But watching it on faster speed is, that was weird.
Do you listen to us on faster speed as well?
Oh, my God. Because we talk.
Oh, we must be so annoying.
I think we talk quite fast anyway.
It's okay. I can understand it really well. And there are just some bits, but then I because I know you and in the end it just makes sense, and I'm not going back for just 1 second, I didn't understand quite so well. So
do you have any other recommendations, any places where we can find you that people can go to in the description? Because you've been on some other podcasts as well.
I did. Right? I'm actually working on a science education podcast in German. It's called Nicht im Fachraum Essen, which is basically the one rule of not eating in the lab.
I love the title of it.
It's cool. A really fun, because it's all science education, or people in the science education field of physics and chemistry, and we get to ask them really loads of questions about their projects, and it's really interesting because there are so many different topics, obviously, in the field of science education. But that's in German, unfortunately.
I think we've got probably a few listeners who speak German.
Maybe it will help me learn German more than
I'm not sure, because they're
the basic German that I know.
Basic German and then some science education words.
That's true, actually.
But most of the science education work is also done internationally, so lots of words are also in English. Most of the podcasts are, like, there's a science communication podcast that I was a guest at from Kiel University. I can send you the link to that as well, but that's also in German. I also talk about being a mom in science, and being a mom and doing a PhD on that, and also the importance of science education, because it's a two episode episode. And if you just want to look at a lot of the coffee pictures I post, you can find me on Instagram. It's Alice in STEM.
Would highly recommend.
Yes, definitely.
And some science management real talk. Not all funds and giggles. Yeah.
So yeah, go and find Alice in all the different places. I would definitely recommend the podcasts you've mentioned. I've listened to a few of the episodes and the ones you were a guest on. So
this is my first English speaking podcast.
Oh, that's exciting.
I hope I did okay, because obviously English isn't my first language, so
yes, I'm glad we got that in here. Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. It's obviously been a pleasure, and thank you for telling us so much about yourself and, you know, your work. Yes,
thank you.
It's been lovely.
It's been a great chat. I'm already apologizing to future Max for having to edit all my ramblings and and
it can't be any worse than my own. So. So yeah, thank you for joining us, and thank you everyone for listening, and we will speak to you soon. Thank you, Elise, for joining us.
Bye. Bye.
May is the perfect month to join in with the book club if you've been enjoying the podcast. This month's theme is science and fiction, and we're reading Anatomy, a Love Story by Dana Schwartz.